Welcome to the Tech Briefing. We've got a heavy focus on hardware today. Robotics companies are seeing some wild numbers on the public markets, and we're looking at a major certification for marine batteries.
The money flowing into physical AI right now is staggering. We've talked about the tech side of these humanoids for a while, but now we're seeing the financial reality catch up.
And it's happening globally. We've got a blockbuster IPO in Shanghai and a massive SPAC deal right here in North America.
Let's start with the Shanghai side of that equation. We are leading today with the public markets, specifically a striking debut in Shanghai. Unitree Robotics has priced its initial public offering on the STAR Market.
They set the price at 150.80 yuan a share, which works out to roughly $22. The goal here is to raise about $900 million, or 6.1 billion yuan.
The institutional numbers are interesting, but the retail side is what caught my eye. The retail investor portion was oversubscribed by 8,288 times.
That is not a typo. Over 8,000 times. The final lot winning rate for retail investors was 0.018%. The demand for physical AI equity on mainland exchanges is just completely saturated right now. People are treating robotics as the next logical phase of the generative AI boom.
Right. They see the language models getting smarter and assume the next step is putting those models into a physical body. And unlike a lot of robotics startups that go public based entirely on CGI videos and future projections, Unitree is actually shipping real hardware.
They have been selling their quadruped robots for years, and now they are pushing hard into bipedal humanoids. They reported 2025 revenue of $252 million, with a net profit of around $40 million. So there is an actual business here.
But the valuation is still pricing in a tremendous amount of future growth. This IPO values the company at roughly 219 times its 2025 earnings.
That is a steep multiple. You are paying for the expectation that they will dominate the physical automation space for the next decade. It is a software-style valuation applied to a hardware company with real supply chain constraints.
They do have some serious strategic backing. DeepSeek, the AI startup, is one of the investors backing the IPO. We've seen DeepSeek releasing very capable models recently, and tying their software capabilities to Unitree's hardware makes a lot of sense. You need a brain for the body.
State-backed entities are also in the mix, but that brings us to the obvious risk factor here, geopolitics. Over 43% of Unitree's main business revenue in 2025 came from overseas sales. They sell a lot of these robots to universities and researchers in the US and Europe.
That is a severe exposure. US regulators are already targeting foreign-made autonomous robots. We've seen discussions about adding Chinese robotics firms to the FCC's covered list over national security concerns. The fear is that these robots have cameras, microphones, and network connections walking around sensitive facilities.
If you're an investor paying 200 times earnings, you need that overseas revenue to grow, not shrink. If the US or European markets start throwing up trade restrictions or outright bans on their hardware, that 43% slice of the pie is in immediate danger.
It puts Unitree in a tough spot. They have the manufacturing scale and the first mover advantage, but the regulatory walls are getting taller. I wonder if the retail investors in Shanghai are just ignoring the trade friction entirely, or if they assume the domestic market is large enough to absorb any international losses.
It is hard to say. A 0.018% win rate suggests people just want in, regardless of the macro environment. We will have to see how the stock actually trades once the lockup periods expire and the initial hype cools off.
The appetite for robotics isn't limited to Shanghai. Over in the US, Agility Robotics is making a major move onto the public markets via a SPAC.
They have entered a definitive business combination agreement with Churchill Capital Corp. 11. This is a special purpose acquisition company led by Michael Klein.
The transaction values Agility at a $2.5 billion pre-money equity value.
They are looking at over $620 million in gross proceeds from this deal. That breaks down to $420 million from Churchill's trust account and a $200 million PIPE.
And that PIPE, private investment in public equity, is priced at $10 a share and is being led by Foxconn.
Having Foxconn lead the PIPE is the most important part of this story. Agility builds the Digit humanoid robot. Moving from building a few dozen robots in a lab to producing tens of thousands of them requires a completely different skill set. Foxconn knows global manufacturing scale better than anyone. They build iPhones. They know how to secure supply chains and drive down component costs.
Agility has been pushing Digit hard into real-world environments. They have accumulated over 65,000 operating hours across 9 different customer facilities.
They are working with Schaeffler, GXO, Toyota, and Mercado Libre. These aren't just controlled lab tests. They are putting the robots into actual logistics and warehousing workflows. They are moving totes, lifting boxes, doing the repetitive tasks that burn out human workers.
It seems to be translating into actual sales, not just pilot programs. They've secured over $300 million in multi-year orders for their next-generation model, Digit V5.
That is a real backlog. When you combine $300 million in orders with $620 million in fresh capital, you have the runway to actually build out the manufacturing capacity.
The market reacted well to the news. Churchill Capital shares rose nearly 5% after they disclosed a $1.5 million unsecured promissory note from the sponsor.
That note is just to support working capital while the merger advances, but it shows commitment from the SPAC sponsors to getting the deal across the finish line.
Once it closes, the combined company will operate as Agility and trade on a major North American exchange under the ticker AGLT.
It gives U.S. investors a pure-play option for humanoid robotics. We were just talking about Unitree's valuation in China. Now we have a $2.5 billion benchmark in North America. The race to automate physical labor is getting very well-funded.
The real test for Agility will be margin. Can they manufacture Digit V5 cheaply enough and reliably enough to make the unit economics work for companies like Toyota and Amazon? If a robot costs $100,000 but breaks down every week, the math doesn't work.
That is exactly why Foxconn is at the table. If anyone can squeeze the cost out of the bill of materials and improve the hardware reliability, it's them.
Let's pivot from warehouse logistics to maritime shipping. The American Bureau of Shipping, or ABS, has issued a critical approval for Fleet Zero.
They received a product design assessment for their Leviathan battery energy storage system. This is the first lithium iron phosphate marine battery system manufactured in the United States to get this classification approval.
Getting anything certified for use on a commercial ship is difficult, but high-voltage batteries are under intense scrutiny. The marine environment is brutal on electronics. You have constant vibration, salt corrosion, and a battery fire at sea is an absolute worst-case scenario.
That is why they are using lithium iron phosphate, or LFP. It is heavier than the NMC batteries you find in most electric cars, and it has a lower energy density. But the thermal stability is much better. It is far less likely to experience thermal runaway if a cell gets punctured or overheats.
The Leviathan system operates at up to 1,000 volts DC. It supports a depth of discharge from 2% all the way down to 98%, so they are using almost the entire pack capacity.
And it carries an IP67 rating, meaning it is completely dust-tight and can survive being submerged in water. You absolutely need that level of ingress protection on a ship, where heavy seas can wash over the deck at any time.
Fleet Zero is targeting their first commercial deployment later this year. They are going to use 10 megawatt hours of capacity for a hybrid electric vessel conversion project.
The containerized approach is what makes this viable. Instead of forcing ship owners to buy brand new, custom-built electric vessels, which cost a fortune and take years to build, you can retrofit existing ships. You load these battery containers onto the deck, wire them into the ship's power grid, and you instantly cut the diesel consumption.
It also solves the port charging problem. When the ship gets to port, you don't necessarily have to sit there and wait for a big megawatt shore charger. You can just crane the depleted containers off and load fully charged ones on, just like standard cargo.
Exactly. It separates the energy storage from the vessel's fixed infrastructure. The maritime industry is facing strict emissions targets from the International Maritime Organization over the next decade. Finding a scalable way to hybridize the current fleet is the only realistic path forward.
Earning the ABS product design assessment is the gatekeeper here.
Ship owners won't touch uncertified hardware because their insurance won't cover it, and port authorities won't let them dock. Now that Fleet Zero has the PDA, they can actually start selling these systems into the commercial market.
10 megawatt hours is a solid start for a hybrid conversion. It will be interesting to see how the system holds up to the vibration and salt air over the first year of operation.
The physical stress on a ship is relentless. If the Leviathan system can handle it, it opens up a huge market for domestic battery manufacturing in the maritime sector.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good.
A NASA engineers just successfully pushed a software update to the Voyager 2 space probe, which is currently operating about 13.3 billion miles away from Earth.
The update is part of a power-saving initiative they call Big Bang. The probe runs on radioactive generators that lose about 4 watts of power every year. To keep the spacecraft warm and functional, this patch turns off certain devices and swaps them with lower power alternatives.
It is incredible. They can still troubleshoot a system launched in 1977. This fix extends the life of Voyager 2's 3 remaining scientific instruments by at least an extra year before they have to start shutting them down permanently.
A new report highlights a quiet collapse in web traffic driven by generative AI. Market research firm SparkToro found that over half of all Google searches in the US and Europe in 2024 ended without a click to an external site.
The Atlantic noted that AI search features can answer a user's query fully about 75% of the time. The impact on community knowledge bases is severe. Stack Overflow has seen its monthly new questions plunge from over 200,000 to under 50,000.
Gartner is forecasting a 25% drop in search engine traffic to the web by 2026. The platforms that host the internet's collective memory are losing the visitors required to keep them running.
France has officially banned unsolicited commercial telemarketing calls, replacing their old opt-out registry with a strict opt-in requirement. The previous law, called Bloctel, was largely ignored by telemarketers. The government estimates that 3/4 of the population were receiving at least one cold call every week. Under the new law, companies violating the ban face fines up to 375,000 euros per call. The legal burden is now entirely on the business to secure explicit prior consent before picking up the phone.
A. Finally, lobbying efforts aimed at mandating internet identity verification are gaining traction in the U.S., mirroring recent legislative pushes in the U.K.
The proposals focus on stripping away online anonymity under the banner of user safety and accountability.
It is a recurring policy debate, but the technical reality of verifying every user usually runs headfirst into severe privacy concerns and architectural roadblocks. We will keep an eye on how these proposals move through Washington.
That is going to wrap up today's briefing.
Thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow with more updates.